Hi, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
You good? Okay. I'm back. Yeah, it's been a while, right? All right. Well, let me just start off by saying it's been a while, but I remember sitting like in the same spot that you're sitting in my season of preparation and training for ministry many, many years ago. And it was a little different. My chairs weren't as cozy and comfy as yours. They were harder back in the day. But I remember sitting in your seat and being in the season where it was like slogging through papers and getting the tasks done and finishing assignments. And I remember feeling a tension, and I'm curious if you feel a bit of the tension that I felt. The tension that I felt was I was learning so much, and I had all this knowledge in my head, and I wanted to use it. Like, I wanted to use it, I wanted to be useful, I wanted to do good work, I wanted to do ministry, whether that's vocational ministry or just ministry in my church or in my family, whatever. I just wanted to use what I had. And I found myself having this tension of, like, having big desires, big dreams, big plans, and started to futurize and think, like, what is God going to call me to do? What's he going to have me to do? And I started to think about that, and I started to desire it. And so at the same time, I had this, like, desire to do something for God, like the desire to do something that was it was big or exciting or bold or courageous for the Lord. I was like sitting in class learning Greek and like taking quizzes that felt like it was just kind of routine. And I started to feel like this tension, like, well, I just want to be done with this season. Like, I wanted to be done. I wanted to get out onto the field. I wanted to play. I wanted to stop all of the prep. And I think that that tension exists for all of us, and the temptation, I think, for me during the season, and maybe for you guys, is like this season feels like you're on hold a little bit. Like, you're on hold while you're preparing for what God has called you to do, and I don't think we like that feeling. We don't like being on hold. We don't like waiting. We want to just get in and do it and go for it. And it's important for us, if we have that feeling, to remember a very clear, I think, biblical example that we have all throughout the scripture, that God oftentimes, very clearly, prepares his servants before he calls them to do things. He prepares them before he deploys them. It's like going into the military, you got to go to boot camp before you get deployed. You need your training before you can go out and do what God has you to do. And we oftentimes try to rush the season, and we don't value as much the season of training and preparation that God has put before us. We don't embrace it. So there's a ton of examples in scripture of this, but I want to take you to one example that I think highlights this for you that will help you to see this season of preparation that you're in maybe in a different light. So go with me to Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen's speech and the sections where he is talking about Moses, where he's talking about the life of Moses, the path of Moses, the training and preparation and usefulness of Moses. So Acts chapter 7 in verse 17, with this interesting and unorthodox path of preparation that he's given for Moses. And this will be instructive for us. So I just smacked the keyboard really hard, but let's go. Verse 17, let me read this for you. It says, "But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt." So we're getting the setting here. Until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. Says that king, right, he dealt shrewdly with our race, that being the Jews, being those descended from Abraham, and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. So, of course, this is this slaughter of innocents in Egypt where Moses was supposed to be thrown out as well. It says in verse 20, "At this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And then when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son." And here's a key verse here. "And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and his deeds." And then it wraps up in verse 23. We'll keep going with this in a second. But it says, "And then when he was 40 years old." So we have this time period that is set for us with Moses from the time he was an infant to the time he was 40 years old, right? And when you look at this text, I just want to make some observations for you from this text. Right away, it's clear that God has a plan for Moses right out the gate. Like, he has a clear direction set. He's at work in Moses' life before Moses is aware of it. Moses does not know what God's doing. He does not know the plan, but God is at work. And Moses wasn't just because God had a plan or an intention with Moses. Moses wasn't just protected from all difficulty or harm. It wasn't like God was just preserving him and keeping his life smooth and calm. Actually, Moses was brought up in a time period where there was a lot of danger. He was about to be killed as an infant. And his life turned out in a way that really he didn't anticipate. He didn't grow up in his home. He grew up in the home of Pharaoh. He didn't grow up with his people. He grew up with the Egyptians. He didn't learn from Hebrew school. He learned in Egypt school. Like, all the things that he might have anticipated would be helpful or useful for future ministry, for work, for being used by God, is not how this ended up working out. And so from his human perspective, he's probably sitting there thinking, okay, my upbringing was kind of weird. It was kind of unusual. All the Israelites, they grew up over here in Goshen and this land, and then they became slaves and they had to do bricks, but I was over here in the king's palace. His training was unconventional. His path was like messy. The whole thing for Moses just was unorthodox. It was unusual. It was strange. And from his perspective, he's probably thinking, okay, this is different. I'm different. I don't know how God's going to use me. But that's the exact preparation when we look back on the story that Moses needed to fulfill the very thing that God called him to do. There was no one else really that could have done what God called him to do because Moses needed that specific training set, that specific training, that specific upbringing with Pharaoh, all these things. So I want to bring up a few misconceptions that we might have when it comes to thinking about our past through the lens of Moses, right? Just because God has a plan for you or a calling for you, and maybe you might even have some inclination of what that is, does not mean that you're going to be immediately useful. You're not going to be immediately useful because God might be preparing, like he does with Moses, a season of preparation. Like a season of preparation where you're getting ready to do the thing that God has called you to do. So he's not immediately useful, right? He's preserved, but that doesn't mean that he's completely ready to do what God's called him to do. And notice that God's providence in the situation of protecting him and directing him doesn't mean that he was removed from hardship. Sometimes we think, if God's got a plan for me, I'm going to be removed from hardship, and that's not the case. In fact, in Moses' life, it almost seems like some of the difficulty was part of the curriculum for him in his life to prepare him for what he had to do. So Moses was being trained long before he even understood what his calling was. And that's oftentimes the place where we're at too. We're working on stuff, we're studying, we're memorizing, we're preparing, we're getting ready, we're in the season of preparation, and we're not exactly even sure what God is going to do. But all of those things that you're working on right now, just like Moses, his education being brought up in Egypt, his leadership under the Pharaoh's daughter, right, would have been formed and honed. Even his understanding of the culture and the time and the gods and the leadership, all of this made sense when you look back in the story. Even his ability to communicate with the Egyptians in their language and with the Hebrews to lead this whole transition becomes so clear that God would later use this. So everything about this was unorthodox, unplanned, completely unusual, but it's not accidental in God's view. And so I want that to lead us, for us, to a point that I think we all need to make sure that we remember in seasons of preparation, is that we need to recognize God's preparation is going on in our past. So recognize God's preparation in your past. Sometimes we look at our past and we just like cast it off and say, that was wasted time. All the stuff that I did prior to this specific season is just wasted. It's gone. It's not there. But I think we should take the lens, like Stephen is able to, and even Moses himself is able to look back and see the value of what God was doing in his providence in preparing him for the work that he was calling him to do. So we need to recognize God's preparation for our past, right? So all of you, you all come from different families. You come from different backgrounds. Some of you are different churches, different cultures. You have different stories, and you've fallen into different sins than other people have. Your testimonies happen at different times. Some of you in Christian homes, some of you not. Some of you have walked paths that you regret. Some of you are stayed pretty straight-laced and moral, and you've got all these things on your docket. And the temptation that we all face when we think about our past is we tend to say the past that God can use is the past that's perfectly lined up, the one that checks all the boxes, where I have all the right training and all the right pieces. And what we do is we tend to compare to others. And we say, I wish that my story wasn't like my story. I wish it was like their story. I wish that my upbringing and my family dynamic was like their family dynamic. I wish that I was in this circumstance and situation that's different than what I actually am in. That God would have laid this up differently. And our assumption in the midst of all of this is God's not going to use my past. But we need to think with a bigger lens of God's providence at work, that nothing is wasted in your story, in your past, as God has preordained and predetermined the path that you are going to walk, and He is going to use it if you can look at your past and say, all that I am, all that I have, all that I've done, my story, my past, my history, if I can put it into your hands, God, to redeem it and use it, then it is something that God uses and can change the world through you specifically. And it's not the same for any other person. It's just you, just your story and your unique background. You shouldn't be comparing to other people, right? Nothing's wasted if you place it in the hands of God. And I've done this before. I've been guilty of this before, where I've looked in my past and I've resented parts of my past. Some things I just messed up on. Times before I was a Christian, I thought, oh, how is this ever going to be redeemed? And as I look back on the past, I can see God's hand of providence lining up my whole life, even the things that seemed like they were bad, for good, for His purposes. And that's something that He can do. God can redeem it. God could use it. Even if you think He can't, He can. But once we recognize this reality, which I think is like in this text, like Moses is looking back at his life, he's looking back and saying, what an interesting path he's been on being raised in Egypt. That doesn't guarantee that everything unfolds the exact same way you want from this point on. So take a look with me at verse 23. We're reading a lot today, but look at verse 23, because the way that Moses' life unfolds, even though it was unorthodox, unfolds very differently than I think he expected. So in verse 23, when he was 40 years old, okay, so remember, he's 40 years. Most of you are like nowhere near 40 years old. You think you're dead when you're 40, okay? So his life in your mind is already over, okay? He's old, okay? It came into his heart to visit his brothers. Seems like a good intent. He wants to see his people. He wants to see the Israelites and the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. So this seems like a zeal for the Lord, for his people. Seems like it was good, but he killed someone. So that's also an offense. Verse 25, key verse here. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, right? He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand, it says. And on the following day, as he appeared to them, to his brothers, and as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers, why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, he pushed him away, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? So this whole thing, Moses presumes that it's going well, and then the next line says, at this report, right, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of his two sons. And then the next line says, and then another 40 years passed. Right? So you think about the story. Moses is saying, I have such a unique opportunity. I've been trained up in Pharaoh's house. Maybe he's starting to realize, you know what? I have position. I have influence. I have knowledge. I have authority. I can do something. I see a wrong. I'm going to step in. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring salvation to my people. I'm going to be the one that does it. And he comes in with a plan. It's like Moses' plan. Moses is like, my plan is good. I assume that this is the time of God's salvation. That's his plan. He assumed the timing was right. He's like, this is the timing. I got it. This is how it's supposed to be. He believed probably, I'm assuming, I am speculating here, but that he was ready to step into this and save these people. And yet the people rejected him, right? So even though his plans were set one way because he thought he was prepared to do this work, God completely did something different. And so what's the result of this? Well, Moses, of course, flees, which is probably not what he thought would happen. He loses his position. He loses his authority. He loses his influence. He loses probably what he thought his ministry was going to be. He ends up in Midian. And now for 40 more years, right? Now you're really dead in your young people's mind. He's 80 years old. For 40 years, he's there, right? With really no clarity on what he's supposed to do, on his calling, on anything, right? And so I think from his perspective, Moses is going like, the plan has failed. All this unique provision from my early life, it's over, right? All this training in the house of Egypt, useless. Now I'm in Midian, and I've been here for 40 years. I'm now 80 years old. I used to be a man of wisdom and knowledge and influence, and now I'm herding sheep in Midian, Right? I'm wandering around the hills of this area just thinking, like, my opportunity is wasted. It's over. It's gone. My usefulness is over. That's probably what he's going through his mind. And yet, you can look back and say, this also was a time of Moses' preparation, right? God was preparing Moses for the first 40 years to be ready for the work that he had him to do, and for the next 40 years, preparing him to be a shepherd, to learn humility, to not rely on his own plan for when he thought salvation would come, but to trust in God's plan for when salvation would come. Both of these seasons of 40-year periods of time were preparation that was necessary for Moses for the calling that God had. But in his human perspective, in his mind, he's probably thinking, it's over. Like, this is the end, right? So he knew that there is probably some calling in his life. He didn't understand how it was going to happen. He didn't know the moment. He messed up the timeline, and God completely took him and redirected his path. And that's sometimes, for us, hard. Because you're sitting here, and you might be thinking, I know how this is going to go. Here's my goals. Here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to accomplish for the Lord. This is what I want to put my hand to. This is what I want to do in ministry and in life. And if God redirects you, your temptation is to say, I'm a failure, or I've waited too long, or this detour is too much, or I'm disqualified. That's why God hasn't allowed me to do it. When in fact, God might just be doing more preparation in your life. He might be preparing you for future work. It doesn't mean that it's all going to go according to your timeline. So point number two, I just want to say, you need to submit your plans to God's redirection. You're in a season of preparation. You're preparing for what God may have you to do. But when you get to this point, you might have plans, and you need to make sure you submit those plans to God's redirection. He should have the authority in your life to determine if you are going to walk in those plans. As it says, we make plans, but the Lord is the one that establishes our steps. That is the basic biblical principle that we have all throughout Scripture. And we need to make sure that we are submitting our plans to God, because he might redirect you in a way that you don't anticipate. I hope you guys are sitting here thinking at this point, oh, when I'm done with this year, I'm going to go do this or this, or I have plans to continue on this path and this trajectory. You're thinking, I'm going to finish at this point, then I'm going to move here, or I'm going to get engaged, or I'm going to get married, or I'm going to start a family, or I'm going to serve in my church, or I'm going to look for a job, or I'm going to go into this field, or I'm going to get into this school. You've got all these plans in your mind. And you probably are starting to say, I know exactly how this is going to work. I know the calling. I know the path. Some of that happens. Sometimes you're confused. But a lot of us have those intents, and we're saying, the doors are going to open. I've spent a year studying God's word. I now have all this knowledge. Now I want to be used. I want to use it. And things are going to move quick, and I'm not going to be slogging in papers. And sometimes God is just going to look at you and say, not yet. You need more training. You need more time. You need more humility. You need more character development in some area, right? I don't want you to go in this direction. I don't want you to go this way. This is not the right path. That's not the right timing. God is able to redirect your life at any point, and we should be open to him redirecting and allowing that to still continue to prepare us. I often think about the story of Paul, of course, where he's trying to do the thing that God has clearly called him to do, and he's going up in Asia Minor, and he's trying to go to these different cities, and he has the intent of going in each of these directions, and each time God literally thwarts him. He blocks him and doesn't let him go there, and he keeps trying, but God is clearly redirecting his path. That's a principle for us, I think, that we need to all get in our minds. Sometimes in this season, and I remember it when I was in your season, just like in school, it seemed like forever, and I was reading, studying books, and I'm like, oh, when's this going to be over? When's this going to be over? It feels like you're behind schedule. There's people that are past you, people who have finished, people who are relationally further than you, right? They're in a different job than you. They're like ready to go, and you just keep thinking, this is not where I thought I'd be. Not where I thought I'd be. This process is taking longer than expected, and we just feel like we're off track, and so we tend to give up, right? Now, none of you do this when you're driving, right? I don't know how you are. When I'm driving, especially if my wife's in the car and I'm talking to her, I lose all sense of consciousness. I just drive wherever my body tells me to go. And my GPS is usually telling me the right way to go, and I just zone out, and I'm like explaining deep theological principles to her usually, and she's asleep. I'll just drive right past where the GPS says to go. Now, when that happens, it's not like I'm like, journey's over, pull the car off the side of the road, we gotta go home, right? What really happens is my GPS reroutes me, and when I finally figure out I'm rerouted, I just go on that path and it's no big deal. You're gonna have all kinds of scenarios in your life as you move on from here where you think you know the plan. You've got a plan. It's lined up. You've mapped it out. It looks good on paper, and then God just redirects the plan. And your temptation is gonna be to pull over on the side of the road, right? It's gonna be like, I'm done. I'm not gonna do it. It's over. All the plans have failed. But you've got to be open to the fact that God can redirect you. He might want you to do something else. He might have a plan for your future calling in ministry that requires you to be somewhere else than what you planned. He might have a series of trials for you to walk through that are necessary for you to gain that character development that he needs for you to do the work he's called you to do. He might be asking you to gain more knowledge and insight for you to take on a specific role, right? There's a lot of things that could happen, and so doesn't mean you're disqualified, doesn't mean you should give up, just means that God's redirecting the path, right? They feel oftentimes like setbacks when these things happen, but we should hold our plans very loosely, hold firm to the fact that we want God to use us and let him redirect us, right? But that's the case. If you can look at your life, which I want you to do, I want you to look at your life and say, okay, God can use my past. I should think about my past as a time of season of preparation. And you know what? Right now, God is using and he's preparing me. I should think of this season as good and necessary for the future work that God is doing, this preparation. And even if I move on from here and God is preparing me for good future preparation and he redirects it, it's okay. I'm going to let him continue to prepare, continue to refine, continue to do the work in me that he needs for me to do to be ready and equipped to do the work that he's called me to do, right? But after you get to that point, there's this interesting thing when God finally does make it clear what you're going to do. And it's interesting even in Moses' life. It seems like his confidence in what he wanted to do early on is there, and then by the time God really calls him, his confidence drops. He doesn't feel like he's prepared. He doesn't feel like he's equipped. So go to verse 30 with me, same passage, Acts chapter 7. Okay, so 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian. It says, now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame, in the fire, in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and he drew near to look. There came a loud voice from the Lord, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off the sandals of your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now, it says, and now come, I will send you to Egypt. God is making it very clear. This is the time, Moses. This is the position I prepared. Then it says this, this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler and judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and the Red Sea, and he was in the wilderness now for another 40 years. So you know the story in Exodus, right? When Moses is standing at the base of Mount Sinai and he's engaged in this flaming fire of a bush speaking to God, and his first response is like, I'm not a man of eloquent speech. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this, right? 40 years have passed in Midian. He's thinking all his opportunity is gone, all the things he trained for, all the preparation that he had, it's all useless. It's all probably not worth it. He probably doesn't feel ready. He definitely feels old. He's 80 years old at this point. He's like, my time has passed. I don't have anything else to do. And he probably doesn't have the confidence that he had. And this is the moment that God chooses to use him. The very moment that God chooses to use him is the moment where he feels the lowest. He feels not prepared. And yet God is saying, I want you to go. Moses doesn't feel unprepared. He feels incapable. And God says, go. He says, go. Right? He says, you're ready. He says, now's the time. He says, I'm going to send you. And so what's interesting is looking back, we can see, like Stephen can see in this speech looking back into Moses' life, God had prepared for him all the leadership skills he needed. He had prepared for him all the learning, all the patience that he's going to need, all the humility. He learned to be a shepherd as a leader, right? Not just the leaders in Egypt as they were. And he learned dependence on God. He learned all these things that he needed to do the very thing that God called him to do. But Moses didn't know it at the time, right? He didn't feel ready, but God said he was ready. So here's the thing. You're going to get an opportunity in the future. I can confidently say God is going to lay before you something for you to do. And when he does, you're often going to feel I'm not ready. Even though you've had all this preparation and you might be anxious and anticipating wanting to get into the fight now, you're probably going to have a sense of that same thing. I'm not ready. When that happens, point number three is this: trust in God's preparation when he calls you. Trust in God's preparation when he calls. God has been preparing you. He is preparing you now. And what God does is if he calls you to do something, he's going to equip you to do it. Right? God is working to equip us to do the work of ministry. It says in Ephesians 2:10, he's prepared good works in advance for us to do, right? He is already planned out and mapped up the things that he wants us to do to serve him, and he is going to equip us to do that work if we just walk in them faithfully. But we need to trust that when he calls, that this preparation that he's been working in us has been effective and good, right? I will never forget the first time I was asked to preach in my church, because it was the most terrifying moment of my life. Okay, I don't know how old I was. I think I was 20-something, 21, maybe 20, I don't know, something like that. And I taught in my youth group. I taught in small group settings, but this was to the whole congregation, and I got asked to preach a full, you know, it was like a 45-minute sermon to my church. And let me tell you, I was terrified. Like, I literally, I don't think I threw up, but I was close to vomiting in the back. I mean, I had done some Bible school. I'd like gone through classes. It had been like a year of training. I'd taken one preaching class. I was like, I did like 2 15-minute sermons in my preaching class. So I'm like, that'll be enough, right? And I got to prep. It was brutal. It was like 80 hours of study. I had no idea what I was doing. I manuscripted the whole thing and read it because I was terrified. I got up there and just thought, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And I trust me when I say I believed at that moment, like, God has not called me to ministry. Like, I can't do this. It's not going to work. I don't have the preparation. I don't have the training. It's not going to work. But I remember walking off the stage and being like, you know what? It was okay. People didn't throw tomatoes at me. We were okay. I walked away. There were some people that said it was good. And I was like, okay, God got me through. I had what I needed. Could it have been better? Absolutely. The sermon probably sucked. But I had what I needed. God gave me what I needed. And I just want to say to you, because you're going to get these weird opportunities that come your way, and it's very normal to just feel like, I'm not ready. I feel unprepared. Even though God's been doing all this preparation in your past, all this preparation now, and he's going to continue to prepare you for what he calls you, but you're going to feel unready. That could be starting a family. That could be stepping into that ministry post, helping out in a youth group. It could be taking an official ministry position. It could be just going back and having the boldness to say, hey, can I help out in my church in some area? It could be you stepping into a job or a career that you're not sure is the right thing, but you know what? God has equipped you to do the work he's called you to do. Discerning the call, that's another sermon, but if God calls you to this, if this is clear, if this is good, he's prepared you to do it, right? And that preparation is specific to you. No one else is going to be able to do that thing specifically like you. God has made your story, your background, your history, your training, your brain, your personality, all the things specific to you to train you for the thing that he wants you to do, right? So if you get that ministry opportunity, if you step into this, you don't feel ready, you do need to trust. You just need to say, you know, God has worked. He's continuing to work. And even if I don't feel ready, I know God's going to continue to work for me. And so I'm going to step forward in obedience. I'm going to trust the preparation period that God has put me through, that it's already done, and I'm ready to step into this role. I've told you all in this section way too many stories about me probably already, but here's stuff you might not know. I like to build things, okay? I like to be handy, so I like do projects at home, and I like make stuff, and it's all over the place, super random. And I've been doing that since I was like in high school. I've just been building stuff. So I have a tool collection that has been growing since I was about 15 years old. I've been collecting random tools and upgrading tools. And it's gotten to the point now where, like, I have a pretty well-defined toolbox. Like, everything has its own little slots, and everything's really organized, and I got all the things. And I come here, and I need to work on a project here. I have my toolbox and my other kit, and I know I have everything I need. I'm just, like, ready to go. The problem with this, though, is that I have a wife, and my wife doesn't understand that I need to buy tools that I don't currently have use for, okay? And I know that's hard. The ladies are like, why do you need that? And I say, trust me, I need it. And she says, what project are you using that's going to use that? There isn't one. I just know that this tool can serve me in something that I'm gonna do. I just know it. So I just go to the Home Depot, you give me a gift card, right? And I'm like, I here I am, I'm buying tools, I'm adding to my toolkit. I have a tool in my garage right now that I have had for 6 months. I haven't touched it one time, but one day I will touch this tool and it will be useful, okay? Right now, you might be thinking, I'm doing these classes, I'm studying, I'm gaining information, I'm doing all these things, I'm practicing disciplines, I'm learning all this stuff, and you're thinking, okay, I don't know exactly how this is all gonna fit together. You don't know how your past, you don't know how this training, you don't know how your personality, your skill set are all gonna work together. You're putting things into your toolbox, you got skills, God's preparing you, he's getting you ready, and you're not sure. Just like my wife's not sure how I'm gonna use it, but God is, she's sure. He knows exactly what he is putting into your toolbox for what he is gonna have you build. He knows exactly the project and the tools that you need, and he is wanting to get you equipped to the work that he has called you to do, okay? God is the one, he's filling up your toolbox, he's preparing you, he's getting you ready, even if you haven't seen it. And so we need to embrace the season of preparation. We need to say, prepare me, dive into it, take it seriously, don't think it's useless. God has a future plan for you in your preparation that you don't even see. Just fill up that toolbox, get all the tools in there you need, get ready for the work he asked you to do. Okay, all right, let me pray for you. God, I do pray for everybody here that is in a season of preparation of ministry in various seasons of their life, that they might be going deeper than they ever had, or even starting afresh with just learning for the first time the deep things of your word and of you. And I pray that this season would be a fruitful season for everybody here, that this season of preparation would be one that you use and you craft and you mold into a person that is able to be used by you in the exact way that you've called them. God, I pray that you give everybody here just endurance to continue with their studies and continue with their test and papers and all the things that they have to do, not seeing them as useless or just another slog to get through, but seeing them as a tool in your hand to use for what is coming, what you have called them to do. So God, give them that kind of value in this season, give them that kind of perspective, help them to not look down on their past, knowing that you can use it, even the things that we regret in our sinful ways, God, knowing you can use even those bad things and turn them to good and redeem them. God, we just want to have this perspective in our lives that you are in control, you are sovereign, you're providentially working things out, and that you're gonna use us as you see fit. We submit ourselves to you in that regard, that you would use us as you see fit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.